now it gives me great pleasure to hand over to the second of tonight's speakers, Tony.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks a lot, Dean. How long for Dean? Hello, I'm Tony, I'm an addict. Good to be here. It is where it all started, and here is where it all carries on. As far as I'm concerned, anyway, but, you know, just a day at a time, I keep coming to meetings and stay clean. Don't pick up the first drink or drug. Drink is a drug, by the way. But I don't pick up, you know, and I stay clean. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, the people, I've looked around, I've seen, looked at faces I've seen in meetings over the years, and I just think to myself, there's a lot of mileage being clocked up. You know, people go into prisons, detoxes, rehabs, you know, going out to meet people, taking them to their first meetings. I was thinking, there's a lot of footwork gone in. And I was at my sponsor's wedding. My sponsor's name's Ken. Birmingham Ken, they call him. And I was sitting around the table, and there's about 200 years clean time around the table. And I was blowing bubbles, you know. It's a very stylish dinner. It's a very lovely meal. And the best man done a good speech. I was quite surprised, you know, lovely looking family, because I remember him telling me where he'd come from. And I thought they was all like vagabonds, you know. He finished up in a caravan in a forest, you know, caved in with snow, looking after someone's 3 ounces of morphine. You know, so, by the time the snow had melted, the morphine was gone. And I see a lovely, you know, children in there, and his family, and his brothers, his sisters. A very respectable family. And I'm surprised. The best man said, what did he say? Ken said, if I do a good speech, he'll ask me to come and be best man at his next wedding. And his wife laughed. She knows he loves her, you know, and he is a very loving man. You know, I was fucked when I asked him to help me. I was 5 weeks clean. And I can't remember where I come from. I think it might have been a Portuguese jail. So I went to detox again. You know, I'd done a lot of detoxes. Professional detoxes, you know, sitting around in this thing, you know, screaming for more medication, you know, writing down 6 nice things about yourself. It's very challenging. But I couldn't think of one. You know, I mean, I shut the door on my children. You know, I put drugs in front of the food on their table, shoes on their feet, and clothes on their back, you know, a father's voice in the house, and then their mother will never trust another man again. So when I came in, full of shame, but I've been forgiven, because I've got a program, and I've had a lot of help working it, you know, not just from my sponsor. Every time I come to a meeting, I'd ask someone, how'd you do step 9, you know, or how'd you do step 4, I always ask people. Every meeting I went to, I'd ask, how'd you do it? You know, it started off, how'd you get a sponsor? I don't know the answers, but, you know, people said, just do it. That's all they said, really, just do it. And I did. I did it to the best of my ability. You know, I love this fellowship. I think everyone's trying their best. Might be wrong, I don't know, but I think they are. I like to think that anyway. So I don't like to be judgmental when people go in and out. And I went to the Brixton meeting, there was about 200 people in there. And you know, my sponsor said, the faces change every year. And I said, why is that? He said, well, they come out of prison or treatment centre off the street, homeless. They with a black bag with their clothes in. They get a job. They get a flat and that. They get a girlfriend, relationship. The relationship goes dodgy and they relapse and they don't come back. So, you know, I don't know what to say. Don't trip on your donkey dick. Because it'll kill you. Now, I did, but I'm still breathing. But there are many who ain't. I can assure you that. You know, the old Brixton meeting's been going up a long time. And my sponsor started it, and he's dying at the moment. He might live, please God he does, but he's very ill. But, you know, it's horrible. It's, you know, men, you know, it ain't a man's meeting, I know that. But, you know, men's emotional menu is that big, you know, same size as their willies, like that. You know, and when they get problems, it's difficult for us men to get it out. And, you know, it comes out in all sorts of weird behaviour, using, you know, all sorts of things. So be careful, you know, if even the first 30 days, tread carefully. You know, you're very loved in here and needed. You might not feel like it, you might, I don't know, but you are. You know, I started using when I was young, really, about 14, at Purple Arts, not far from here. Waldorf Street, around here. Yeah. I used to score an album on Old Street and then walk round to Waldorf Street. And I went to the Flamingo Club one night, and I come out with a cutthroat cut on my back. Didn't even know it was there. And my back was wet. I was only a kid, you know, wasn't old enough to get into clubs. And my mum had to wake me up. You know, it took 2 days to wake me up. I took so many of these pills, I never slept for days. You know, it's had me awake. It carried on. I mean, I was 15. My brother took me to a dog track. It was all dark in there, and the lights come on, and the dogs started racing. And when I see the dogs race, I carried the illness of addiction. You know, I never knew what I was dealing with as a kid. I didn't know it was there in me. And when I see these dogs start racing, I lit up inside. All my inside lit up. And I thought, I'll have something. And I had a dog race in there. It had been 3 months. I drove my grandmother mad for the money. I had to have a dog there. And I did, I got one there. Kept coming last. Yeah, it did. It wouldn't chase the rabbit under lights. It didn't like running in the night. But everything I did was to fix myself, was just to get anything. It could be a watch, you know, it could be a bike, it could be a pair of shoes, it could be a cake, all sorts of things, a bet, all sorts of things to sort of make me feel like excited. I craved it, you know, and my craving can't be satisfied. There's no possible way. I can think it gets satisfied for a very short period of time. And but what it is, it wears off very quickly. And once that craving starts, I'm in trouble. Could be anything, could be a bet, could be anything at all. You know, anything at all. You know, I was in a relationship about 4 years ago. And I walked across Blackheath and the stars were out. I felt like it was in my back garden. You know, I felt like I owned the place. I was happy. I thought I was happy. And it ended in 4 months. And I phoned my sponsor. He said, pray for the willingness to let go. Someone else will be slipping in, and you can be grateful it won't be you. He said, ask your higher power for the desire to do the right thing. So what that helped me do was to let go with love. You know, I wished her all the best. You know, and if she finds someone nice, you know, and she did. That lasted a few months as well. But, you know, it's the way it goes. You know, I've got to be very careful. You know, I was a multiple relapse. I was in and out of this for like 16 years. I was in the first meeting in London. And it was all like middle class bourgeois, you know. And I come out of Peckham. I never stepped foot out of Peckham, hardly. I was just to get a drink or a drug, go somewhere, do something wrong, get the money to find some more. So, but I'm glad it was, because they carried the message, and they sponsored people, they've done the proper stuff. You know, a lot of them are still clean. I've seen them sponsor lots of people and help people. And it's in here, you know, there's a lot of help in here. You know, all I have to do, not to use, is to keep teachable. So ask for help. Pick up the phone. I will not pick up the phone if anything is annoying me, no matter what it is. Once something's aggravating me, I'm on the phone. Straight away, not to the Samaritans, you know, not to a detox, to someone in the fellowship. It sorts it out. So I find a solution. If I don't find a solution straight away, I have to wait. It will come eventually, because I'm willing to stay clean and do what it takes to stay clean. It's as simple as that, really. You know, I can take it all over. I mean, I've detoxed loads of times. Thank you very much. Technical problems. And your fault. And your fault. I can't talk leaning forward, that's all. Thanks. My mum and dad come round, I was in a council flat. I sold the house, sold that, sold a bit of land in the country, the pictures on the wall, collections of different things, what I collected. It all went. And I was in a council flat, and they come round and said, they know I was drunk a lot, they see me out of it a lot. They said, we heard you're on heroin. And it was one of them moments, and I've always admitted it unless it was the police or a teacher. Well, I know when I can be honest and when I can't be honest. I know with my mother, I don't have to lie to her. I can tell her anything, you know, I can tell my friends anything now. So they got me in the detox. Didn't last, you know, I was like, they give me methadone, frightened the life out of me when it stopped. I mean, the day after it stopped, I was freezing. My arm come out of the bed, my leg kicked up, kicked the duvet off. I called a priest down, which helped. It did help. And the priest came down and prayed and started crying. It meant a lot. I mean, first time I ever cried in my life. And I always do. I always feel very emotional if I'm around someone who prays. Don't know what it is. If I see people praying, I feel emotional. Don't know what it is. I trust it. That's what it is, trust. I trust seeing people praying. You know, and it's marvellous, really. It helps. If it can work for them, it can work for me. You know, if it can work for me, it can work for you. You know, I don't want any more of that aggravation I've had. You know, prisons. I went to Portugal to detox, finished up in jail. I didn't know I was finished up in jail. It was like Midnight Express. I felt like an hostage in there. You know, the first person I saw was a geezer behind the bars, screaming at one of the officers with black teeth. He frightened me. I thought, fuck me, look at him, I ain't banged up with him. You know, it was horrible. I thought, like, you know, I'll kill him. I thought, where am I? And it took me 3 weeks of tossing and turning, no sleeping, to realise why I was in there. And I stole the takings from somewhere because I'd run out of drugs. So, you know, when Tony ran out of drugs, something has to go missing. He says it in reading. Doesn't say Tony, he says... he says finding ways and means to get more. Right? So you'll know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. Finding ways and means to get more. It's got to go. You know, no matter what it is. Could we live in the luxury of someone else's bank account? It could be whatever it is. Whatever it takes. You know, whatever it takes to get the money. It has to go. And when I was in the rehab, first rehab I'd done, I was in there for 10 months. And I was talking in there, and there was a young fella there, he said to me, sounds like you're glamorising, you're using. I never had a clue what he was talking about. But he was on it. He knew. He knew I was sick. He knew I was banging trouble. You know, he knew. I had no fucking chance. Glamorising, using. I fell in love in there. With a great-great-granddaughter of Bismarck. When she said that, I thought, I've got royalty in the house. You know, 4 months later, I'm in a Portuguese jail. You know, but I did admire her courage, because the police wanted to beat me up. They come over and start slapping and all that. She ran right in the middle of them. She's only a midget. It wasn't very, nothing of her, I imagine. She ran right in the middle of them. You know, all brave. I was really surprised. I didn't realise that she had that courage. You know, to stop him hitting me. It was only slaps, didn't hurt. You know, I come out of that jail. I mean, it was mad in there. You know, there'd be violence in there. No one would take any notice of it. Till it went quiet, then the screws would come in, you know, with their machine guns and carry the person out or the people out or whatever it was. Come out of there. I swore blind I'd never use it. I was coming out of there, you know, I thought we'd be alright. And I was straight on a stall. Madronia store, got drunk, come back to Heathrow, that was it, back in there again. Detoxes, in and out, they never saved me. Now the rehab I'd done for 10 months never saved me. They went right back to when I was born in there. They almost had me dancing around the groups in nappies. Yeah. Proper skilled people, been doing it for years. How did you feel when you was a child? Yeah, yeah. and they meant it, and they was there listening. You know, the women used the groups better than the men, by the way. They let it out, lonely, hurt, angry, scared, and all that just come out. But it didn't save them. But it does help in recovery to say, you know, you're feeling it. It can help. I've learned it can help. But I'm crippled. I don't know, you know, if a relationship goes by side on me, I'm crippled. You know, I have to have a nanny on the phone listening, who's got patience, you know, and talk through it, and come through it, and come through the other end of it without picking up. Because the old Brixton meeting, the old faces change, you know. Like, there's no shouting into their heads what they got to do, what they ain't got to do, and don't do this, and don't do that. They take a blind bit of notice. You can't blame them. You've been stuck on drugs for years, and then you get clean, you feel like it's like a miracle's fucking happened. It is a miracle. A miracle has happened, but it's keeping the miracle going. You've got to put some footwork in it. It's nice to give yourself a pat on the back because you ain't used. It's brilliant. I'll still do it. It's good to give yourself a pat on the back, but keep coming back and you know, let it happen for you. You know, let it happen for you and let it sink in and try and be teachable. I don't like seeing people go out there. Maybe a part of me does, I don't know. I don't think I do. It makes me angry. It makes me really angry. I don't like it. You know, I don't like seeing my friends get fucked up. And, you know, I'm sitting here, it's like being in an army. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how many of you have done prison service. I just think quite a few of you have done a lot of service in here and carried a message. And it's a very powerful fellowship, LA. Very powerful. When I wasn't ready, I mean, I had to be ready before I really asked for any help. It was simple as that. Unbearable, but simple. You know, I was in banging trouble. You know, I was 5 or 6 stone underweight. I'd have robbed anybody, don't know who it was. I'd have took the money. Where the money was, how I had to get it, I would have taken it. And I did. I'd take them drugs. All costs. It says it in the reading. Ain't me making it up. It's lovely readings. At all costs. You know. And I quite enjoyed it, really. I wouldn't, you know, I'll come around this area actually. Around here. There's a lot of money around this area. So if anyone does relapse, plenty of silver around here. Plenty of jewellery, checkbooks, cards. You know. But forget it. You know, you ain't got to do that. Can stay clean. And, I was in and out of rehabs. It was unbelievable. Three I did. One, 10 months in one, 2 months in another one called Face to Face. It was, and I can't even remember the other one. Phoenix House twice. Lovely place. Skilled staff. You know, the residents are hugging, loving, open up, one to one, special groups. You know, all that, and one went out and died every month in there. Guaranteed, every month. One person go out there and have an OD. There was one kid come in, 21 he was, he played the piano. He was gay, Sam his name was. He played Sting, he sat down on the piano and played Sting. And then he played classical, really. And someone said to him, play some blues. I can't play blues. I can't play no jazz. I've been classically trained. I remember him, and I thought, a little kid sitting there being, have it drummed into his fucking head, you know, all cows eat grass, you know, the notes and all the rest of it. I felt sorry for him, and then he split, and his mum and dad come back a week later. I just wanted to see where he spent his last few weeks of his life. They found him in his apartment. It's a killer illness. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a killer illness. Don't mess about. No. Don't take prisoners. Once you're dead, we'll kill you stone dead. We're lucky to be sitting, coming in here now, tonight. Very lucky to be sitting here tonight. Got away with absolute murder coming in here tonight. You know, the place is full up with people. You know, all friendly meeting, very friendly people. There's old timers sitting in there. I remember their chairs, ages ago. I remember every word of their stories. I remember it all. But I had to be same as everybody else. It says it in here, reach rock bottom. And I did ask for help, and I see Ken sitting there, because I was to take him home, drop him off when he was a newcomer. and drop him up where he lived, in Camberwell. A little flat he got when he came out of detox. I used to drop him there. I used to look after people, you know, I thought it was all right, I thought it was well. Never knew. Never had a clue. When I see him sitting doing a chair, I was a bit awestruck because he changed. I thought it was a moody, I thought it was pretending, you know, I thought he was acting, putting it on. At first, the way he sat and that, he didn't swear, very articulate. And I asked for help, and he said, come round, we'll have a chat. And he put me straight into doing some work. And I prayed on his carpet, rotten carpet on the floor, yeah. All the stuff he had come out with old shops. I had to give it to him. There was a shop, it was a Christian shop. They give people, I ain't got anything, give it away freely. They collect it in their churches and give it away. You know. He had that stuff, old carpet, and I prayed on the carpet. And he said, let him in. That's what he said to me. He ain't religious. He said, let him in. And I left there and done some writing, went back. I think it was about, not long, a month after. He said, we've got 10 hours. And he stopped after about four, and out come the old cheap food he does. He does tuna and rice. And takes 5 minutes. So a tin of, you know, a tin of tuna and a packet of boiled rice. It tastes all right. So, especially I've been talking what I was talking about. I'm starving. And because he was saying to me, next, you know, next, next. Next. What's the defect? What's the defect? And there's one, I was stealing chocolate as a kid out of shops. And there was two lesbians in the rehab where I was in Phoenix. Nice women. I admired them because they held hands in the street. They were afraid. Open. I sort of looked up to them. I thought, well, at least, you know, I respect these women. One of them said to me, needy child. I said, you know, Steve, you know, needy child. And the way she said it, and it crept right in. She pressed the button. She knew what she was doing. And my sponsor said, what's the defect? I said, I was needy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, like it was yesterday. He said, what about, would you consider the possibility that it could be greed? I said, what do you mean? Yeah. He said, did you want something for nothing? Yeah. So he got me. Yeah, I did want something for nothing. I wasn't needy. I had the illness. I was carrying the illness. I was born with it. I think I was born with it. I still carry it now. And when he said that, I felt I could take responsibility. I didn't feel like a victim. Because when I thought of myself as a needy child, I thought as a fucking liberty. I did. I thought, what a liberty. You know, my mother and father never met my needs. You know, my needs were my cravings. My needs were my cravings. And my cravings cannot be satisfied. A bike would come at Christmas. I never slept Christmas Eve very much. Because the presents, it's like, you know, what they're going to be in that. And I get on the bike, and the other kid have a better bike. You know. So I always had that disappointment that the other kid's bike was better than mine. The bell, you know, it was green, the saddle was better. You know. And I looked at my bike, I felt sorry for myself, it wasn't enough. So my mother and father, you know, albeit, you know, my mother, you know, I left her yesterday, and I said to her, my brother, but this illness killed my younger brother, Robert, and I said to her, I think Robert knew when he was going, because he became very warm towards me. And she went, oh, don't start. You know, don't start all that. Don't remind me. So she wasn't really, you know, she wasn't the kind of woman who was brought up to be able to say, well, sit down with your kids. And you say, sit down with your kids and you say, hey, hiya, how was school today? And have a little chat with them. But that wouldn't have saved me. You know, I could have had Louise A as a mother. You know, I could have had Carl Jung as my dad. It would not have saved me. My illness is powerful. It's not worried about emotional availability. Don't worry about all that. It's about taking responsibility. I can't afford to feel like a victim. Can't. I mean, when my sponsor said to me, what was the defect? I thought, how can you start? I start on me. I was a needy kid. I stole a bit of chocolate. You know, don't pick on kids. But greed. It's a liberty, you know. But it sunk in because it carried on. Because, of course, you know, when the using started, he went like that. He went like that with his hands. He rubbed his hands together and he said, it's getting juicy now, isn't it? I was 15. Of course it was getting juicy. The using started. Reared its head up proper then. Because, you know, I couldn't... He said, you know what, you know what's a defect? I said, greed. I'm stealing. I'm needy. If he started me off saying I was needy when he was 5, I'd have negotiated that. So I was needy when I was 15, when I was stealing the drugs and carried on because I was needy. I needed to score. I needed not to have any withdrawal symptoms. You know, I needed crack cocaine as much as possible. I needed to snort as much up my nose as possible. So I was needy. And I stole. Must have slaughtered people, you know, when they come home. Whatever happens, you know, whatever happened, there have I got the money. It hurt a lot of people. And I said to him, how can I make amends? I've stole tons of stuff. He said, well, take some bric-brac to a charity shop. And at the time I had a Luton van and I'd loaded it on a field, you know, I'd loaded a charity shop up with it. So that made some amends. I took my oldest boy to a meeting. He's 11 years clean. I took him to Brixton meeting. And he never slipped on it, but he was at it. He was at it, because he stayed with me for 3 weeks. He said it lasted 3 years. But he was at it, but I didn't say nothing. He's 11 years. Got married in a castle. It was nice. His daughter's blossoming. I felt a bit ashamed the other day, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was out having his birthday in a restaurant, his belly button birthday, and we had a meal. His mother, my mother, we went back to his flat, and he put on a video of his little girl skiing in Slovakia, I think it was, she was skiing, and these little clips come round of a little girl laughing, happy. Of course, you know, the mum, you know, happy. Well, when he came to stay with me, he was using. And I used to clean out the car. He had a little mini, I think, or a little van. I used to take out the cans, you know, the cans with the ash on the top. He'd been smoking his crack. And then his spliff dug in from the floor. His eyes were black. No life in them. Dead. I said to my sponsor, I can't stand it. I said, he's using. You know. He says, he's using in front of you. I said, no. I said, well, I can't stand the thought of him being on drugs. He said, well, how long has he been with you? I said, 3 weeks. He said, how long was you with him when you was using? You know, how did he feel? You know. And that wasn't a shaming exercise. That ain't like a blanket of shame. It's just the reality. Reality, seeing how I was, and out of it, you know, he found scowls, he found packets of gear, he found other things which he shouldn't have found, frightened the life out of him. So you know, I don't know if you know, that stuff can be untied in minutes with an apology and asking for forgiveness. I don't know if I can untie all that stuff up. You know. With a kid, you know, my parents weren't stoned, went out of it. My dad never had police knocking on the door every 5 minutes. Never done murders at the doorstep every 5 minutes. Or riots in the street, in notice if I got stopped by the police. I caused murders if the police stopped me. It's off my head, it's probably, you know, insane. So, this process goes on, I'm making amends. It goes on, and then it goes on by me staying clean. You know, and it ain't a guilt trip to start all that nonsense, because and shame and guilt drive bizarre behaviours. And I come in with shame and guilt, I don't want to carry that around. But I've been forgiven. And, I said to my daughter, you know, I've stepped 9 miles, your oldest daughter, she said, wasn't that bad, Dad. It wasn't that bad. So I thought, you know, I'm self-centred. I thought, oh, fucking hell, look, how important am I? I've slaughtered my kids, I didn't slaughter them at all. You know, my son was better than, weller than what I am after 6 months being clean. Or 18 months, 2.5 years clean is better than what I am now. You know, different rates of recovery. You know, I'm not that important that I've got all this shame and guilt I've got to carry. I don't want to drive myself insane with it. The wedding was nice, my sponsor's wedding. You know, people got to speak to people. I don't talk to people much. You know, it's a funny thing in NA, you know, there's people I meet, and people come and go, and people stay. You know, there's been people that stayed. I feel like I ain't got to keep, you know, saying, how'd you do, what's this defect, or what's that defect? You know, I ain't got to ask all that now. You know, I know. There's the steps. And they're there, you know, and I take notice of them. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, step 10. I haven't actually apologised to anyone for years. I haven't had to go and apologise to anyone for a long, long time now. So I must be doing something right. And I remember early recovery, I'd get in my car and drive. I want to shout at people, stuff like that. The sponsor will stop at every zebra crossing. I mean, I knocked a policeman off his motorbike. I'm not proud of that. He said, pull over, and I couldn't pull over. There's no way I could pull over. No, I wouldn't have seen daylight. You know, I wouldn't have had, he would have took my, stopped my using. You know, I couldn't have my using stopped, by the way. And I thought it was funny at first. I thought, you know, after 3 days after, they never come round, nothing like that. I thought it was funny. And I said, well, you know. He said, well, you can make amends. I can't make amends to the police, so a prison sentence. He thought, any time a motorbike comes beside you to overtake, wave it on. And the first motorbike would come past, I couldn't get my arm out the window quick enough. And I waved him on, and his little hand come off his little hand of woman like that. And as his hand lifted up like that, it was like the hand of God. It was. So it's all right, Tony, you have been forgiven. Tell you, that's exactly what it was like. It was like that. Yeah, and every time I'd done an amends, it was like the hand of God said, you're forgiven. I wanted to be forgiven. I felt like the worst person in the world not coming here. Neurotic guilt, whatever, you know, existential guilt, all sorts of guilt, and you know, shame. I can revel in it, I'm not careful. But from day one, when I stopped using, God, you're forgiven. You know, forgiveness. And there's a lot of forgiving in here, in this fellowship. And, I've been to meetings in the prisons, you know, detoxes, rehabs, and they've probably done something, but they never saved me. I'd be smashed to pieces to stop, but I don't want no more of that. I'm an old man now, anyway. I don't want no more of that. Age won't save me, by the way, you know, but I don't want no more of that life. No. No, far from it. I don't know more of that. You know, I do things, what I've done, I've found, is any old behaviour that I've sacrificed, it feels like a sacrifice, by the way, when I stop it, something comes in. Something comes in which I never knew I had. Funny enough, it just happens like that. And I've stopped a few old behaviours, because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, number one. I've learned that, to be safe, extra safe around addicts. You know, sometimes I've got to dance around their feelings, you know, friends, especially if I, you know, don't want to upset no one. And like when the thieving stopped, well, I'm not free of temptation, by the way, yeah. But when I thought, don't bother with it. Something came in, a gift, which I cherish. Cherish it. Do it every day. Other things, yeah. Anytime I've said, oh, fuck that, you know, blah, blah, I can't be bothered with that. And it's negative. Negative's the word, I suppose. Derogatory to me, you know. Sabotages my life. You know. Sabotages other things in life. What's available for me if I drop it out. You know, step 6 and 7, you know, I don't know what you know. Step 6 and 7, well, you know, I learned in them that, you know, my drug taking was a symptom. And it's not about drugs. So, you know, I haven't got any humility. I think I've got humility. I did drop some things out, and it works. Every step works. There's not much more I can say, really. I think I've said it enough. I can carry on for ages. And I'd like to say thank you very much for your reverence. And if you're new and you feel a bit shaky, make sure you get some numbers before you leave here tonight. And make sure you use them. Please, leave it there.